thinking about something yesterday. I think it had to do with some place I went yesterday. I thought about the way things are in the natural realm, in the political realm. You know, it's so divisive, and it's getting more every day. And the idea was that we would come together, you know, way back when, that we would come out of the oppression of religion, state-run religion, and we would come to a place where people could be free to worship the way they wanted to, and we had to coalesce around some common ground so that we could have government and there could be a sustainable culture, right? And now we're in a place where that's no longer a possibility. We have people that are fixed in their position on extreme opposites, and there is no longer a middle place. There's no longer a place for everybody to come together and agree about some fundamentals that we can move forward on. And I think for myself, I'll tell you the way that looks. I have a bias. We all have a bias. Just say with me this morning, I have biases. It's extremely funny to me when people say, oh, we have to train people about bias when we all have them. And then we say, well, you know, that group or that people, or they're wrong. But if I was in control, everything would be perfect. Yeah, okay. We'd just be living under your biases. The idea here is, how do we learn how to submit, humble ourselves to God so that we can be better human beings? So I want to propose to you, and this is just my proposal. I'm not going to tell you this is from God, although it very well may be. If you were to look at the church, we're seeing in the culture exactly what the church has propagated. The church has been divided. It's been separated. We've been on extreme odds with each other. We've got people over here who, you know, it's miracles, signs, and wonders, and everybody else is going to hell. And if you don't do things exactly this way, you're out. And then we got people over here where abortion and every other thing is good, and God's happy. What makes you happy makes God happy, and it's all good. And that's the way the church has been operating for many decades now. And I think we tend to be surprised. And we said, God, what's going on with the culture? It's our responsibility. We created this mess. They didn't create it. They don't know God, generally speaking. And I don't know that they want to know God, because what they've seen isn't really great, isn't really a good representation. So I would challenge you to think about, how responsible am I? And I'll say for myself, how responsible am I for what's going on in the culture? And if the answer is not, I think you have to rethink your Christianity. Because we're all going to be asked to account for what we did in the days that we walked on the earth and the impact that we had. And the Bible says a million things, but this is one of them. When the darkness is greater, the light shines brighter. So as we sang out in there to break walls down, I think the biggest walls that have to come down are right here between our shoulder blades. And when we get a piece of heaven in here, we'll start to see more of heaven out there. Just something to think about. So this morning we are going to do a little exercise, because I could feel all the energy in the room when we were doing the declarations. And when I said good morning, I felt everybody all pepped up. So I think we ought to take advantage of that energy and do a little exercise this morning, all right? So if I can get some help, Kristen, for a minute here, and give everybody a pencil and a piece of paper. Now, we may not have enough, so if you have your own pen, use your own pen or pencil. Everybody gets one of each, please, as quickly as possible. Vanessa's going to help you out. And as soon as you get that, I'm going to give you something to do. Can use a pen, right? Yeah, so we're not hopefully going to be erasing or anything like that. So again, this is just, we're going to quickly do this. So all right, looks like we're close. The guys in the back there, make sure Hadassah, Gianna, everybody has one. Everybody's participating. Okay, so first thing is, you can't let anybody see your paper. So if you need to move to do that, move. If you're honest enough to keep your eyes focused on your own paper, then you don't need to move. But if you can't trust yourself, or if you can't trust the person sitting next to you not to look at your paper, then you better move, all right? There's plenty of room here. We could spread out. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. You listening? Okay. We are going to draw a robot using simple geometric shapes. If you've done this before, then you know where we're going. Just do it again. If not, what did I say? Somebody tell me what I said. Draw a robot. You have 60 seconds, maybe 90, to draw a robot using simple geometric shapes. Do not look at your neighbor's paper. This isn't about artistry, so don't worry about what it looks like. Just what do you think a robot with simple geometric shapes, and if I can maybe make that a little more clear, like squares, circles, triangles, simple geometric shapes. While you're doing that, I'm going to do mine. If I can find a piece of paper. Remember, don't look at anybody else's paper. This pen doesn't write. How's everybody doing? Everybody done? Okay, everybody done? All right. You're going to find a partner. Turn your paper over so nobody can see it. You're going to find a partner. Everybody's got to get a partner, right? You could take your normal partner, but maybe for the purposes of this, you shouldn't, because you kind of maybe know a little too much about them for this. So find a different partner than you would normally have, all right? No, no switching papers, no looking at the drawing. Everybody should have your drawing turned over. Come on, we got to hurry up. Otherwise, I'm going to have to keep you here till 2 o'clock. Come on, Lionel, you with me. Get a piece of paper right there, right there. Okay, then if Robin doesn't have a partner, you're with her. Draw a robot, Lionel. Simple geometric shapes. Squares, triangles, circles. You got 60 seconds. Don't look at your picture. Don't let anybody see your picture. Everybody's got a partner? Okay. Did you do it? Okay. All right. Victor is going to be my partner. Get him a pencil or a pen. Okay. Do you hear what I said? Draw a robot with simple shapes like a square, a triangle, or a circle. Quickly. Don't think about it. You don't have that much time. We got to get moving. Okay. Lionel, you okay? Okay. Don't let anybody see it. Don't let anybody see it. Okay. Now, who's your partner, Lionel? Robin. Okay. Get with your partner. Okay. Now, who's going in your partnership? Who's going first? Raise your hand. Okay, the people with their hand up. The people with their hand up. Where's the people with their hand up? Right? Okay. You are going to describe your robot to your partner. And they are going to draw it from your description. Hang on. Somebody that had their hand up, tell me what I just said. Yes. Okay. 2 minutes to do that. Okay. You're going to describe your robot. Don't let them see it. And they have to draw it. Not swapping yet. I'll tell you when to swap. The legs come off the bottom. Okay, and then there's a triangle down with each arm. That's like an elbow that goes down, and then the hand is a little tiny triangle. Alright, I gotta get moving, so I'll do yours later. Alright, everybody done? Now you're gonna switch. The other person, you're gonna tell the other person what your robot is, and they gotta draw your robot. Don't share the pictures. Do we need more time? Is everybody done? Okay, so we do need more time. They're not going to let me speak anymore if I take too much time. Okay, are we okay? How are we doing, Lionel? You're good? Okay. The first group that went, the people with their hands up, right? the people that they were the ones that said, this is what my robot is. Their partner had to draw it. The first group, show your partner the robot you drew and look at the one that they drew from your description. Okay. Okay, everybody do that? So that's the one you drew?
Yeah.
That's the one I told you about. Well, that's my robot there. It's not too bad. It's not too bad at all. Okay. Okay, so how many of you that had to draw your partner's robot, the first pair, got really close to what they drew? I don't give yourself benefit of the doubt here. When I say really close, it means like you could maybe almost substitute them. Okay, so we have two hands and a half a hand and two fingers up. Right? And we have people changing their mind every minute now. All right. So we have maybe one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12. So we have like 5 out of 12 maybe that feel like they got it right. Now, how about the other way? For the other ones, do a comparison. So, Victor, this is what I drew. Where's your drawing? Let me see yours. See, so my triangle was upside down. It's close, yeah. Okay. Okay. All right, how many in the second group feel like they have a pretty accurate representation of what they have? We have... Okay. Well, it looks like we've got about the same. We've got about 5 out of 12. Okay? Okay, what's the point of this? Are you listening? Are you listening to what you're hearing? Or? Okay. Okay. But as a listener, how do I get somebody to explain to me better what I need to hear? I ask questions. So how many people asked questions? Okay. Did anybody say don't ask any questions? What? Why'd you have your hand up? Did you ask questions? She said yes. So do the people that maybe didn't ask questions, or let's do it this way. The people that didn't get as accurate a representation of what they were told when they saw the picture, do you feel like if you had asked questions, you would have done a better job? So let me give you an example. And it's hard to see because this is a paper and it's pencil, so you probably can't see it very well. This is Victor's robot that I drew. And it's pretty close to his. The thing that's wrong is the head. And guess what? If you get the head wrong, your robot's not going to work. But here's what Victor told me when I said, okay, when he started, he said the head is a triangle. And I just assumed, because in my picture, the chin of my robot was a triangle and the chin was pointing down, because I think chins should point down. Okay? So when he said to me, the head is a triangle, I automatically drew the chin pointing down. My bias, my preconditioning. Let me hear a triangle. Oh, yes, that's what I was hoping he's going to say, triangle, or like, you know, a circle or a triangle. Oh, that is, or square, that's easy, right? But my triangle, I did not get the clarification. I didn't even bother to think about asking, is the chin pointing down? Which way is the triangle pointing? Is it pointing down, up, sideways? So that's just one. We could get a million of them if we went around and looked at the pictures in the room. The point here is sometimes we think we're listening and we're not. And sometimes we're just hearing what we want to hear. And sometimes we're hearing what is so distorted by our experience, our pain, our disappointment, our loss, whatever. You fill in the blank, a million things. And all those things are filtering what we hear. And so by the time we really say, oh, yeah, I heard that, it's nothing like what's trying to be communicated to us. And so this is really important for us in our relationships right in this room, but it's way more important for our relationship with God. Because here's the thing, when we hear God speak, and that would be every Sunday morning or any time we're reading his word or any time we're consciously aware of him and thinking about him, our life has to change. And if our life isn't changing, it's not because he's not speaking. It's because we are not hearing. Jesus said, he who has an ear, let him hear. It's a stupid statement, Jesus. We all have ears. Don't you see them? What's he talking about? He's talking about how we listen and what we're really hearing. So thank you for participating. Somebody can collect these and just throw them out for me, please. Recycle them, yes. Give them to Mr. Sustainability here. Here you go. Here's a pencil for you. Here's a pencil for you, too. All right. I got to try to get this thing back. This is not right. I just heard Bob say, he drew what I told him, but what I told him was wrong. That's another part of this. We didn't get that deep into it, but listen, if you're listening to the wrong voice, it's going to be very destructive in your life. And I know none of us think we do, but trust me, we do. And, you know, Al spent a lot of time last week trying to teach us about the kind of things we listen to, especially in our mind. Our mind will drive us crazy if we don't decide what we shut off and what we allow in, right? So that's another piece of the learning around this is if the voice is bad, if the instructor is bad, you got to have a bad outcome. And I said, can we get this restarted, please? So we're going to talk about hearing, obviously, what the Father's saying. And I feel like we have a challenge around what we're doing, and that is what we're hearing. And I feel like we put a lot of our own qualifiers, our own bias on what we're hearing. And I think that is causing us to have problems. It's not working, not cooperating. Hang on, leave that up at Asa. Give me 1 minute here. Yeah, or I'm not giving her the right instructions, one or the other. Here we go. Let's see this. Hey, look at that. All right. So we're going to start off in John, God bless you. John 10, 1 through 4. We're going to go quickly, right, to make up time here. Verily, truly, I say, tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way is a thief and robber. God, we just ask you to continue to clarify our understanding this morning. As we speak your word, God, let us not just hear it, let us listen, and let us interact with you around your word, God. This is a dialogue. This is not a monologue. And so let your word talk to us, and let us converse back with you about your word so that it forms in us what it is intended to do this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. Say that with me. The sheep listens to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. We're not necessarily getting into the following part of this morning, but Jesus is the shepherd, and we can't be following him if we can't hear what? His voice. It's not saying our voice, it's his voice. And the key here is he's going to lead us. He brings us in somewhere. He brings us into relationship. He brings us into intimacy. He brings us into dialogue. Why? So he can lead us out into the environment, into our family, into our workplace, into our recreation. And so in all of that, though, to go in and to go out, we have to constantly be hearing his voice. And we can't allow distortion to enter in. We can't allow opinion to enter in. We can't allow modernity to let enter in. Oh, you know, that's so many thousand years old. We have to do things differently. Of course we have to do things differently. We don't drive horses anymore or ride horses. We don't get around in chariots. We do things differently. But conceptually speaking, the concepts of success, the premises of prosperity and eternity never change. They're the same. The objects that we use may change, but God's word never changes. It's the same forever. But we can't activate his word, and his word cannot be active through us unless we're hearing his voice. And I'm not talking about some weird thing here. I'm talking about intention. I'm talking about pay attention. I'm talking about ask questions. Well, God, what does that mean? A triangle, what does that mean, God? An up triangle, a down triangle, a right angle? And he'll tell you. He's not trying to hide from us. It's when we try to describe the triangle with our own lens, now we distorted it. So Victor told me, hey, it's a triangle. I didn't bother. Right? I didn't bother to clarify. So I didn't bother to interact with Victor, or maybe I didn't have enough value for Victor to go back to him and say, tell me more about the triangle, about the head. What should it look like? Be more specific. I just took my first impression and said, oh, it's a triangle with the point down, because that's, in my mind, what a head should look like. So I'm wrong. We do the same thing with God. We don't think we do, but we do. Because we want a quick answer sometime. We want a quick result. We don't want to take the time to spend and have that dialogue. And God wants to desperately dialogue with us. Luke 10:25. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Said, teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, what is written in the law? He replied, how do you read it? I want to submit to you that he's really saying, how do you hear it? Because when we read the word, we're really hearing it into our spirit. So how do you do that? They say, people say, oh, I read the Bible all the time. I get nervous when people say that. Because the people I know that read the Bible all that much, they don't have any room to wiggle. They're very rigid around them. Not all of them, but some of them. And where I came from in my development as a Christian, people that read the Bible all the time, they were more, generally speaking, they were more antisocial. They were more wrapped up in the Word than the world around them and the needs and the cares that were right in front of them. So if we can get to a place where we read the Word all the time, and the outflow of that is we are an incredible impact to humanity. We said it in the declarations this morning. Wherever I go, I have great influence, or I have great impact on the people around me. Then yes, that's good. But just reading the Word for the Word's sake is not listening. Because when we listen to the Word of God, it moves us to action and it moves us to change. So a great way that I thought about when I was reading this earlier in the week, and I'm thinking about it over some time and hearing some things this past week from different speakers that just like kind of really, I think God was speaking to me hard in this area, is what's changing about you that proves that you're listening. And we all have to ask ourselves that question. And listen, I got disappointment in my life. I've got serious failure in my life. And so you can't sit there and say, well, you don't know. Okay, maybe you think I don't know. And I'm not trying to match up my stuff with your stuff. But I'll tell you what, it'd probably be pretty close. For anybody who's got some really tough stuff in their life, I got a few things. We could hash it out if you really want to. I don't want to. What I'm trying to say to you is, what's changing in my life because I go to church? What's changing in my life because I read the Bible? What's changing in my life because I sing a worship song? Because if nothing's changing, then I'm not listening. I'm just hearing. Matthew 15. Jesus called the crowd to him and said, listen and understand. Say that with me. Listen and understand. I mean, we could stop right there. What does that mean, God? Like, I don't know. I've probably read that 1,000 times. I never saw that word understand. How did it get in there? Are you listening? Yeah, I'm listening. And you could see this in your own relationships, you know, with your spouse or with your children. I don't listen to understand. I just listen to respond. No, you're wrong. Or no, that's dumb. Why would I do that? I don't understand anything. We take everything we think we know, and we don't even think about this. We just respond. We just respond. And listen, it's not a criticism. It's a reality that we have to learn if we're going to get where we need to go. Some things have to die. We'll get to this later on. In order for there to be new life, something has to die. Right? We want revival. We got to make room for it. We got to kill some things. If everything I have in me right now stays the same, then I won't get any further than I'm getting. Something has to die so something new can come. Listen and understand. What goes into someone's mouth doesn't defile them, but what comes out of their mouth, that's what defiles them. Then the disciples came to him and asked, don't you know that the Pharisees are offended by what they heard? Yeah, there's just so much stuff here, right? Yeah, I was offended by what he said. Yeah, we're always offended by God when we're not listening. When we're just hearing God or hearing the Bible or hearing a message, we will be offended if we're not listening, meaning listening and understanding. And so we have to take everything we hear from God and we have to match it to his character, his history, and all we know about him and all the things that he's done in our life, and then say, okay, how do I understand this inside that vast umbrella of who God is, not just in this moment, I'm in pain, or I'm unhappy, or I'm disappointed, or whatever the blank is, so I'm offended. I want to submit to you that the word is meant to offend us because it's meant to It's meant to point. That sword of the Spirit is meant to prick us at the place that we need to change. And if it's not doing that, then we're not hearing. A lot of times we go somewhere, I went there, the speaker wasn't that great. But did you listen? And I've had this happen. I've had people tell me, I really didn't like this. I had an experience just recently. I'm not going to get into it because it's very conflicting for me. I'm still trying to unwind it. But another time, a different one, somebody was talking to me about the speaker because I wanted to go see the speaker. I couldn't see him. I couldn't go. So I said, how was so-and-so? And they said, I don't know. Didn't make any sense to me. I don't like him. You don't like him. God, I didn't like that speaker on Sunday. Okay. Did you hear what he said? Well, I tried, but I really didn't like him. So it was hard for me to hear because I didn't like the speaker. We don't realize when we do these things, and we don't realize what we're leaving behind. And we don't realize that the reason we haven't changed is because we put these qualifiers on. We got these biases on. We got these lenses on. And then God sends somebody, and I don't care if you don't like the way they look. And I don't care if you don't like the way they walk or they speak or whatever. They laugh too much when they talk. Are you hearing what God is saying? Am I hearing what God is saying? Am I hearing to understand, or am I hearing to judge, evaluate, criticize, whatever, you fill in the blank? So anyway, I got the tape of this lesson, and I was like, it blew me up. And I was like, I don't understand how you didn't like this, because I thought it was like really powerful. Well, it might have been the delivery. Okay, so if you came here this morning and you're going to let my delivery separate you from the deposit that God wants to give you, that's your decision. But God's got something for every one of us this morning. And hopefully, we're not going to let the evaluator or the music or the song or the beat or whatever it is disrupt that so that we go home and we stay exactly the same. Because then this would not have been a productive time. Out here means I'm talking too much. Don't you know the Pharisees were offended by this? I mean, you look at the disciples, you look at the followers of Jesus. This is who we are, followers of Jesus. They're defending the people that are at odds with Jesus, and they're trying to protect them from the words that God is speaking. The sword of the Spirit comes out. And we want to protect people, even sometimes, most of the times, ourselves. We want to protect ourselves from that sword. Why? Because it's painful. Because change is painful. Change just doesn't happen because it should happen or it could happen. It happens through pain. It happens through effort. It happens through work. It takes something to tweak us inside to say, hey, it's time to change. I can't stay in this place anymore. Every plant my heavenly Father plants will be pulled up by the root. Every plant the Father has not planted will be pulled up by the root. Leave them. They are blind guides. Let the blind lead the blind. They'll both fall into a pit. Peter said, explain the parable to us. And then he says to them, are you still so dull? Meaning, are you still incapable of hearing and understanding? So again, we got to ask ourselves, how long are we going to do this in some places in our life and continue to hear and not understand? Because again, that leads to no change. That leaves us right where we always were. John 12:49, Jesus speaking, this is because what I taught was not from myself. The Father who sent me told me what to say and what to teach. And I know that whatever he says to do will bring eternal life. So the things I say are exactly what the Father told me to say. And we ought to be a people that can say, the things I say are exactly what the Father told me to say. I can tell you that's not me. And at least it's not me often enough, not nearly often enough, right? And so we ought to think more about the words that we say, because people are listening and they're supposed to be hearing things that can change their life. So here's one of the ways it works is God speaks through us. We change, and then we speak to people, and they hear something that promotes change in their life. So another way to hear that would be, hey, I got this friend or I got this family member and they don't ever seem to change. Maybe what they're hearing isn't what God's saying. Because maybe you're not hearing or I'm not hearing what I need to hear. And so then what I'm relaying is not what they need to hear. So many times we say the problem is the hearer doesn't listen. That's true. But as agents of the kingdom, if we get our hearing wrong, then hearing is wrong all the way down the road. The message is distorted all the way down as far as we take it. So it's so critical for us to say, I've got to get my hearing right. So how are we hearing God this morning? Maybe we say we're not hearing him. And so today's an opportunity to say, I got to hear him. I got to figure out how I'm going to hear him better than I have been. Are we hearing him at all? If we're not, it's not a crime or it's not bad. It's a day to say he wants me to hear him and he is speaking. So how do I realign myself and get in there? Growth can't occur. Revival can't happen unless we hear differently. Something in us has to die for something new to occur. Oh God, this is the same thing. I'm guilty of this. I do this. Like I declare stuff in my life I shouldn't. Because I don't have the patience to wait out what God's really doing. So in the meantime, I speak against what he's doing, and then I wonder why it might be taking longer than it should. But I know I'm the only one that does that. And so let's just do a little quick snippet, right? We could do this for a long time, but let's do a little quick snippet. Al talked about Abraham. And the thing, like, when he was talking, I was reading the scripture, and the thing that jumped off the page of me, just like listen and understand, it said Abraham reasoned. You can hear or you can reason. Reason with God means there was a dialogue going on. There was this recall of Abraham. Where was I? Oh, I was in my father's house in Ur, going nowhere. Nobody knows anybody from the Chaldees anyway. Now suddenly I'm here, and God brought me from there to here, and all these things happened along the way, miracle after miracle, all this stuff. I was 100 years old, and God gave me a son. How did that happen? If all that happened, then I bet God could raise his son to life. In fact, I already believe he's raised to life. This is the listening and understanding that Abraham's having while he's acting out this thing that to all of us would seem like crazy. That can't be God. That doesn't make sense. And yet Abraham's got a level of dialogue with God going on so well that he gets to the conclusion that he believes that his son's already died and been resurrected before he's got to do it. That sounds like hearing and believing what the Father's saying to me. That Sue talked a while about Nehemiah. Nehemiah's in captivity for God only knows how many years. He's not living his own life. He's living somebody else's life. And he's doing what he's told by his captives. And yet he hears from the people back in his land about the oppression and the state of the temple and everything going on there. And because he's able to listen and hear, God does some miraculous things through his life. And all the way through, you know, where the enemies try to come in and take them out, Nehemiah's hearing the voice of the Lord, and it gives him the ability to stay focused on what's got to be done. Now, this isn't like a spiritual thing. Nehemiah had to go and rebuild a city. This is practical. For all the practical things in our life, when we hear the word of the Lord, it goes much better. Lionel talked a couple weeks ago about Jacob. Jacob had to wrestle with God. And the outcome of that, just to slim it down, is Jacob heard a new name. if he doesn't wrestle, if he doesn't try to understand at a deeper level, if he doesn't fight to hear exactly what God's saying, if he doesn't lose his hip in the process, he doesn't hear a new name. But we can't argue that Jacob left that moment different than he was before, because when we hear the Lord, our life changes. Ruth talked about Lydia. Paul had a dream. And we fail to realize all the things God might be doing in our life to get something to happen. So some guy gets a dream way over on some other part of the planet, and he says, there's a man saying, come to my city. Paul goes to that city. He can't figure out where to go, so he goes down by the river, and he runs into Lydia just by accident. I mean, God's waiting to have an accident in our lives to tell us something that we're too locked up and we're too sure of how it's going to go. We're so sure our life sometimes is going to go poorly that we get exactly what we asked for. Paul hears a dream. Lydia hears. Paul's obedient to what he hears, right? We got to be obedient to what we hear. Paul's obedient to what he hears. He moves, his life changes because of what he heard. He goes somewhere, runs into Lydia. She hears something. Her life changes because of what she heard. And then Lydia begins to change her city because of what she heard. And so we have evidence all along that trail that hearing must be right because things are changing. If we just hear a bunch of stuff and the end result is everything is the way it was yesterday, then we have no evidence. And we can fairly say we must not be hearing from God because this looks the same as it did yesterday. Now, sometimes things are changing subtly and things are taking time. So and that's why we have to hone our listening skills so we can know which place we're in and what path we're on. We're almost done. Jeremy spoke last week, love bears all things. Right? So we have to endure some things while we're listening. It's going to be painful sometimes. It's going to look differently than we might have thought it looked like. And every single one of us can look back at certain circumstances in their life. And if we think about where we were before something happened, we would say, this is what I think my life will look like in the future. And then suddenly a whole bunch of things changed. But we can also say, at least I can, that things turned out better than my thoughts were for it. In some cases, in most cases, way better. What we say and do depends on what we hear. We walk out of this place, we are going to say and do things, and that's all depends on what's happening in our listening, what's happening in our hearing, what's happening in our understanding. So let's just make some declarations. Let's stand up. All right, you with me? I have an ear to hear. I take responsibility for hearing your voice clearly and accurately. My ability to hear and do what you created me to hear and do is increasing daily and having a great impact in my own life and those around me.